suspending regional flights to three cities.
Blog Talk Radio.
The North Texas-based air carrier announced plans to no longer service Islip and Ithaca, New York, along with Toledo, Ohio. A pilot shortage is being blamed for the cuts. American CEO Robert Isom said earlier this month the company had to ground 100 regional planes due to a lack of pilots. Five planets are set to align in the sky this month. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, in order, will line up for the first time since 2004. The planets will have their highest visibility on June 24th, even though they could be seen with binoculars earlier throughout the month. Experts say if it's cloudy, the planets still should be visible. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Need a break from the sound bites and the talking heads? Do you want information you can actually use? Information that'll change your life for the better? Then listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will show you how to retire in 2 to 5 years. Your age doesn't matter. Turn off the pundits and turn on the passive income. Tune in to the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to our alternative talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies, but then clearing out by this afternoon. High temperatures around 67, 68 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows back down to about 54. For Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and even Friday, more sunshine expected. Temperatures hovering in the upper 60s to low 70s. Mostly cloudy skies through the overnight. Low temperatures in the mid to upper 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on today. Thank you so very much. I take a moment. You know, I grew up in a part of this country that many of you have heard me talk about. Now, I will say this to all of my friends that live in the Bronx, that are born in the Bronx. It's a cool place. It's even gotten cooler. But one of the things I want to say is when you grow up in an environment like that and you're always looking behind your back and, you know, you learn some street smarts. You learn things. You understand things. And that becomes sort of a way of life for you in a lot of ways until you move to a place like Seattle where I live now. But there's part of that that you never forget. And then you read a headline like you read in the morning. And you read the headline and you just ask yourself, why? And, you know, because of my journey and because of my field of study, the answer to that question is not a simple one. You know, we are in a place now where we are in complex times. But there's nothing that I can say. And, Benny, I think you will agree to this because Benny and I have been together 20 years. We have taken moments like this many times, actually more times than I'd like to admit. Prayers, compassion, a range of emotions. It has to be shocking. 19 children, 2 adults. Now it's 21 people that are no longer on this planet because of something that most people think we can do something about. And what I want to say to everyone is find a place in your heart just to hold a space for a divine solution. whether it's for you as an individual, whether you kept your children. I have more of my clients that have called me and said, I'm not sending my kids to school, and they do not live in Texas. Nope. Not going to school today. Now, growing up for me, we lived it, we breathed it, but we never experienced anything like this. And I wanted to take a moment, Benny, to do that. Just for us to take a moment, Benny, and then let's take a short break and we'll come back with our very special guest who's going to really talk about how we look at the essence of what we think is our true nature, but it isn't. But if we could just take a moment, all of us, just take a moment. All of us here at the Transformation Network, Benny will agree, our affiliates, 1150 AM, all of our networks, Facebook Live, those of you, all of you should know that this does not go unnoticed by us. That's why we keep doing what we do here on this network. That's why we are determined to go bigger than we've ever gone with positive messaging solutions. All of the above. There's nothing that I could say that would wipe away the pain of what people are experiencing today. The mothers, the fathers, the grandmothers, the brothers, the sisters, the teachers. There's nothing I could say except I pray that there is a solution that we may not know about right now, but it'll be revealed to us. Benny, can we take a short break, please?
Being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Thank you, everyone. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in. Oh, my God. I am so thrilled to have you all meet Lisa. Lisa Haysha is joining me here today, a life coach, an author, a transformational street speaker, TV host, traveler. But, you know, there's something here that I love about this because, you know, I attempted to study spiritual psychology, but just saying, like, my school was not going to have any of that. But it didn't stop me. You know, she has traveled to over 60 countries. She's worked in boardrooms. I was going to say from boardrooms to bathrooms. that's a title of my book, From Bathrooms to Boardrooms. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Oh, my gosh. But, you know, here we are today, right? You know, this is about soul blazing. I love this, Lisa. I love what you've done here. And I love that you're tapping into what I believe is one of the number one, if it's not number one, it's close, to the reason why people have giant dreams and cannot get them off the ground. Thank you for joining me here today. Tell me about what you had to overcome to fully embody soul blazing for yourself.
Oh, my God. Loaded question right out the gate.
Damn. I should have told you about me, right?
I used to actually come see you when you were in L.A.
No, right. Oh, my God.
You were so amazing, working a room of 50, 60 to 100 people sometimes. And
isn't that great?
Oh, it was just wonderful.
I can't wait to get back out. I'm actually going to get back out and do a lot of that. But, man, you've tapped into something. When I was reading your book, I'm like, she's talking about me.
Mm.
But,
yeah.
You know, you don't write a book like this, and you don't become Lisa unless you have had to really break through some obstacles yourself, right?
Yes. I grew up in San Diego, but under a Baghdad roof. My father was from Iraq, so very strict. But in Southern California, where everyone's dating, smoking pot, going to the beach, bathing suits, and it's like we had all these restrictions and had our husbands picked out for us and all that. We had to be in when the street lights were on. And I was a goody-goody because I did not want the wrath of my father. We'd get the silent treatment or get, you know, ignored, punished in some way. Never physically hit, but in other ways.
Yep.
And psychologically and emotionally. But one day when I was baking a cake three houses down at my girlfriend's house because it was my other friend's birthday, then I came home and the streetlights were on and I was in my checkered, you know, Catholic school uniform. And I opened the door and there's a gun pointed at my heart. I'm like, what's going on? And for a minute, I was like, who is that? And I'm like, oh, my God, that's my dad. And he was like, what are you doing? Are you a whore? And freaked out on me. I'm like, I was baking a cake for Juliet's soul tomorrow. You can't come home. I was three houses down, Dad. And to my mom, what kind of household are you raising here? Because I had four sisters. So there's five girls, teenagers at the same time. My mom married when she was 18 and had four girls by 20 and five by 22. So she was like one of us. And she just said, she's just baking a cake, tried to calm down. And he's like, send her to an orphanage. We can't have that here. I'm like, an orphanage? What is an orphanage, you know? And, you know, I'm like, I want to move out. I hate my life and all that, crying, went to my room. And that moment from getting really good grades and being a really good kid, I started saying, you know, because everything was, we've got to protect you from the outside world. Everyone wants to hurt you. This is during the time when, you know, it was the mass murders were there. The serial killers were by Manson, and there was like 10 of them. And so, don't you know what's out there? Everyone's out there to hurt you. You can't dress like that. You'll get kidnapped, pulled off the street. So I thought, what if he's wrong? What if the bad guys are inside the house and the good guys are out? So that put me, I had a girlfriend who was hitchhiking all the time. She came from a challenging household, this and that. She asked me to go with her, and I always say, no. So I said, I'm going to hitchhike now. So I call that friend, let's go. Then I started hitchhiking. I did it about 10 times by myself, but only getting cars with, like, Hell's Angels types, scraggly, tatted up, and broken down cars. Then I would say, are you going to hurt me? Are you going to rape me? Why did you pick me up? And they say, no, where do you want to go? And I'm like, my dad told me about guys like you, and I'm just curious. So I think that started me on my journey of exploration, maybe finding my inner power from being one of five and being restricted and limited and filled with fear. That culture is about filling you with fear, especially women, so you don't have a voice. And so they marry off early to be obedient to your husband, work for your husband, and make babies.
Yeah.
So I rebelled from that at that moment.
Oh, my God. I can only imagine, right? I mean, you know, let me ask you this question because it really speaks to, you know, not just the book, but like everything you're doing, right? And I actually took your imposter quiz, so I'm curious to see that. But what you're really bringing to bear is is more relevant now than it's ever been. And let me say why, and then I want you to comment on it. You know, once upon a time, okay, so maybe we had reflections of self. I mean, go back in time. And you don't have to go back too long ago, right? You know, when I worked at the phone company, they were still talking about caller ID. And, you know, relatively speaking, if you look at old school phones, like we call, Benny, do we call them telephones? Yeah, when I ever say, I say phone, people are like, oh, my God, like, how old are you? What are you doing? Like, right. I said, well, what do you call it? You just say cell. Okay, you just say cell. But if you look at the evolution and the speed of information, and now you look at the fact that I could not even avoid that headline this morning because of my phone. If you just look at that, there are more opportunities for us to be convinced we are not really all we're capable of being. Would you agree?
Of course. Yes, 100%. I think our world's gone mad. I think the division and the hatred. Oh, my God. It's changed so much in the past, you know, 5 or 7 years or so. And I think the division is just breeding more hatred. And I know what to do about it. I don't know if I could say it on camera. But I think we all have to look into ourselves and say, how is this helping the young kids? I think our government is like our parents. And when we're seeing them fight the way they do or can't even get along, I watch the news on, you know, the mixed news where you see 6 stations at once.
Yes.
You see Fox, you see CNN, MSNBC, BBC, Al Jazeera, and then the Weather Channel. And you're looking at the headlines. It's like,
I'm so glad you included the Weather Channel. Thank you.
That was on. And I look at that, and you see Fox, Biden is destroying the world. Look at this and that. And you see CNN, Biden just made, trying to do these peace talks, helping to give to Ukraine so we could all get together and join. You know, MSNBC is saying Trump did this and Trump did that and we got to get him. He's on trial for this and that and going, and BBC is showing, you know, the war actually happening and Al Jazeera is talking about, you know, U.S. relationship with China and how Biden's comment in Taiwan is destroying the relationship. Just like, oh my God, everything is hate, destruction. And if it's, I mean, it's 24/7. And when you listen to some of these mass murderers, they say, oh, they got their talking points a lot from Tucker Carlson about race and how they're trying to cancel white people. And I think when you start, apparently he said it over 400 times, and I guess these kids are listening and saying, oh, we got to protect our nationality. And same with the insurrection. Everyone's thinking they're doing the right thing, protecting our country, a lot of the people who went. And I know a couple people who went, and I'm like, what are you thinking? And they said now they're embarrassed that they did it, but they said at that time they got caught up in it because it's just like juicy gossip, and they make it like you're in the end, you know? You're on the inside on these texts and Telegram and stuff, so you're in the know. You know secrets that other people don't. They're like, you don't understand. This is what's really going on. And I think the more that comes out, you know, I'm just hoping in Russia – they stopped the misinformation machine, and I think they're getting closer to it. Some of the top generals there now are looking into that, and I think that's bleeding down in. And if we can capture that, I think there's hope. But right now we need spiritual warriors more than ever out there.
Yeah. I love that you're bringing this up because here we go, right? I mean, we're talking, of course, about soul blazing. But if you'd have asked me when I was a kid growing up, that I would be doing an interview, which we did several months ago, with the youngest member of the Ukrainian parliament, I would have said the what parliament, right? Somehow, though, the path, the soul. I love talking about the soul because I know so little about it, and I'm so willing to learn. But what you've really outlined for us is the difference between showing up in the world with our full potential warrior shield, our special light, our beautiful mysticism, and our unwavering belief in getting what we need energetically by taking charge and understanding we're not always in control.
Yeah, that is exactly correct. Exactly correct. I'm going through that right now with my daughter. I'm like, I am not in control of this. I'm not in control of that. You have to let things go. And what you just said so beautifully is if everyone thought about the whole instead of just themselves or controlling, oh, if I go do this, I'm going to control the situation. We can't control situations. All we can do is control ourselves. If we bring peace into ourselves, and if each individual takes it on to take a morning routine to meditate, create their day, if you believe your thoughts create your reality, you would take this seriously. And I believe it does, because all these thoughts that all of our leaders are having then spew out to us is affecting our world. If everyone just said, all of us want peace, all of us want a good life, all of us want to be, you know, want to see our kids thrive and see the next generation thrive, our planet thrive, we'd all be on the same page. I just think it's politics and power. And people don't understand, we could all be in power if we take care of ourselves first and our family, our neighbors, and then the world. Yeah. And some people going, I'm going to go there and fight. I'm going to do this. I'm like, look at your house. You're fighting with your wife all the time. Look at your children. They're going through this. You're not even there for yourself. Do you meditate? Do you do something? Do you walk in nature? Do you write out what you want your day to be like, what you want your month to be like, your year to be like? Who are you first, not your goals? Everyone's about doing these days instead of being. If we all go, who am I being in this moment? Who am I? I don't think some of these who I consider monster politicians even understand the harm they're causing. And if they just turn a switch to say, you know, I have children too. What kind of world do I want our world to live in? We could all get together. And on both sides are, there's so much vitriol because so much has happened. It's like a dysfunctional family. So if each of us individually say, we're not going to buy into that and we're going to create our own reality and the spiritual warriors come through, I think we have a chance.
You know, it's so interesting because, you know, as I'm looking at this and I'm reading your book, one of the things I'm really struck by is, you know, is understanding what you mean in the relationship. If we could take a moment and talk about this, Lisa, for a minute, because you're bringing multiple things together. One, you're bringing soul together. You're bringing soul blazing together. But then you bring us to say, wait a minute. Do you understand what I mean by imposter? Do you understand what that is? You see, there is a direct connection you're making in this book, and you don't really give us a lot of fluff. You're like, let me just tell you about this, and by the way, do you understand that this is operating? Can you talk to the point of how imposter and the idea, as you talk about it, our imposters either drive us to the place or guide us to the place the soul wants us to go, or maybe not so much, or maybe not so quickly.
Yes. I equate it with the imposters live on the stage of your brain. And when I say imposters, they're showstoppers. They want to run the show. Either they run you or you run them. And the imposters to me are your ego and are those thoughts in your head every day of I'm not good enough, I'm not smart, I've got to do this, and all these distorted thoughts of childhood. Every time something happened, it was like a scar. And then the imposters start growing and growing. And I think we have hundreds of them. But I narrowed it down to 7 that I was working with over about a 6-month period, over 100 or 200 people. And I started going, oh, where's their issue coming from? And these were the top ones. So I wrote those down just so we have a framework. But when you could put a leash on your imposters, I equate it with pit bulls. If you train a pit bull to fight, it's going to either attack you one day or kill someone else, jump the fence and attack people or other dogs. But if you train it to love and attack when appropriate, it will do that. It will love you and love your friends and be a sweet dog. I have a friend who has a pit bull, and I used to be terrified. I'm like, oh, my God, this is like a poodle.
Because no, I agree.
I agree. Yeah. And by the way, let's take the reverse if we could. Come on, I'm ready to play with you here. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Let's take the reverse. I'm just saying. Please don't email me about this. All y'all with the small dogs, don't email me about this. I'll send you a picture of little Sadie and little Daisy and Linda. But the opposite is true, right? You walk up to a little opsalopsa poodle thing that you just beautiful little Sadie, little small dog. And you look at her and you think, I'm just going to like pet her. Now, in Sadie's case, you can. But how often have we done that and shocked ourselves about the little dog that's like got the teeth coming out, right?
Yes.
So isn't what you're doing and helping us, isn't what the book did for me is help me understand these without judgment, because we go to a place of, oh my God, did I really take the quiz? Is that really me? But that's not your intention, is it, Lisa?
Okay. No. And your imposters could become your superpowers if they're healthy. And they're your saboteurs if they're not. So it could go either way. Are you familiar with the Enneagram?
Yes, I am. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of similar to that. You know, you've got your wings that you could step into their power or you could step into their weakness. So, like, I was doing a teriyaki burger audition, and I really wanted it because it was going to pay a lot of money. And it was one of my first auditions, and I was first in line. It was open auditions from 9 to 5, and I went in. Then I gave my head shot and all eager, and they're like, okay, we want you to sit here. You're going to be typing. Then we're going to ring a phone over there, walk over there, pick up the phone, answer it, come back to your desk and say, oishi desk with your burger. But the whole time we want you eating your burger. I'm like, okay. And I'm so nervous. So when I said action, I'm going, oh, do I eat first or does that look weird? Do I know how to mimic? How long do I type? How many steps do I walk? What do I say? Do I talk? And I was all in my head. And I sat down and I said, okay, oishi desk. And they're like, oh, thank you very much. And as you know, in LA, that means you stop, go home, never want to see you again. And I'm like, I blew it. So I went home beating myself up. And without this terminology, it was like my narcissist was talking to my victim going, you are a victim. You went in there wanting to be liked and wanting to be loved and to be picked. I don't give a shit. I'm the one for the job. They need me. My overthinker is going, what are you doing? It's done. Let's, you know, maybe you should go back. No, maybe you shouldn't. And going back and forth. So by the end of the day, I decided I'm going to go back. This is round four. I changed my hairstyles, changed my clothes, brought a second headshot. You know, we have several. And I went back towards the end. And then I gave my headshot to the casting director. And she goes, oh, you look familiar. I work all the time, you know, because now my narcissist I embody. And she's like, okay, this is what you do, da-da-da-da-da. And I saw the Japanese men sitting there, five in a row. And I went and did the same audition, but I did it with confidence and knew what I was doing in oishi desk. Then I said, wow, that was really good. And I said, thank you. And then as they were looking at the pictures, they said, wait, is this you? And I went, oh, that's my twin sister. I can't believe she was in here. She's a terrible actress. I do have a twin, but she doesn't act. And they're like, oh, my gosh, she was bad. I'm like, I know. And then they said, you are great. I said, thank you. By the time I got home, I had a job. Now, I'm the same person. So you could go through life being that victim. So if you have victim imposter, go, God, a victim imposter is also giving, loving, nurturing. But when you dive into the ugly side, it's needy, not being able to take care of yourself, feeling like other people owe you because you're doing all these favors for them. So it's really about going, God, how do I make this work for me?
Exactly. And, you know, it's really interesting when people meet me outside of here. I used to run into this all the time. Is like, let's say I go to a networking event or who knows, whatever it is. And I do whatever I need to do there professionally. You can hardly find me. I mean, I'm usually sitting at a table with other people and I'm listening. And people are shocked. They look at me and they're more like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm great. Because I'm not talking. I am so far on the introvert scale, if you were to refer to one of these personality type thingies, right?
Mm-hmm.
When most people hear that, they don't believe it.
I believe it.
They don't believe it. And what I try to say is, look, I have in my corporate career, I almost got fired from a leadership position because I scored so low, so high on the introvert scale. And the Myers-Briggs people had to come in and talk to my management team and explain, no, that's her gift. That doesn't mean she's not going to talk. It just means that, honestly, after a busy day, you're not going to find her at a party. You're not going to find her at a party. So what one of the takeaways, and how funny you mentioned George Carlin. Did you see his latest thing on TV now?
I did.
Oh, my gosh, right? I mean, like, how did you couldn't have even known, like, by including this in the book. But this is really a message. I want to take a short break and come back and talk with you about this, Lisa, because, you know, everything you embody, the work that you do, all of the above, is really to help us step into our fullness. Step into soul blazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's take a minute before we go to break. How do people find out about you? And then how do they get a copy of the book? Let's just make folks aware of how that's going to happen.
You can get a copy of the book on Amazon. It's also on Barnes & Noble, and my website leads you to there. But soulblazing.com is where you could get everything. But I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. I'm everywhere. So
when we come back, also people can take the quiz because you got a quiz on your website.
Yeah,
that's like totally fun. I haven't got my results back yet, but let's just get over there. When you read the book, this is what I love about this. We're going to go through a couple of these because I had to do a double take on some of these. And I love the way Lisa's got this laid out because, you know, she gives you a description and you get to think about, oh, wait a minute, when was I that? Oh, what she wrote here, you know, do I really have to do this? How often do I ask myself that? And then do I actually do anything? Where do I go with all of this? See, if we can understand these parts of ourselves without not liking these parts of ourselves, she's going to help us turn us into our superpower when we come back. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Are you having difficulty feeling at home in your own home? Join Annette Rigolo and Dr. Pat in Enlightened Environments, Optimizing from the Outside In, as they present a deep dive into the various vibrations of the Earth, along with man-made energies that impact our lives. Using the Diamond Dowsing Method, we will utilize specific vibrations to elevate our own homes to support us and expand us with their energy. Join us every third Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to make your home, home.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
What could you achieve if you knew someone was going to ask about your progress every week? Accountability matters. Small corrections and check-ins with your goals can lead to big results in your business without you feeling overwhelmed. Success Magnified owner Mary Gall provides entrepreneurs a system of goal setting and accountability to create clarity about where you are now, your future direction, and the most effective way to get there. Book your free call at successmagnified.com today.
Take control over your future. I'm Lisa Belt, and I'm here to help you realize your true potential and become unshakable. Schedule a completely free introductory coaching session with me now to see for yourself how I work. Get the divine guidance that you need to transform your life for the better. Go to lisabelt.com and take that step towards transformation. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Every day living in peace. Every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Oh, my gosh. Like, when I was reading the book, I'm like, okay, yep, I know when I'm that. Okay, I know when I'm that. Where do I stand on the fixer part? Do I think I'm a fixer? So I just want to say to everybody, and then Lisa, we're going to go over these, but also we're going to talk about, you know, how do we use these? How do we create those superpowers? We're all capable. But one more time, how do we get a copy of the book for people? And then how do they find out more about you, what you're up to, how to engage with you?
Well, you could get the book on Amazon, and it's also on my website, Barnes & Noble, but you could reach me on all social media. I'm on Instagram, and I go by my name, Lisa Haysha. So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, other ones too. I think I'm on TikTok. I'm everywhere, Pinterest. So, yeah, you could easily find me, but most active on Instagram.
Awesome. So understanding the imposter, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's an end game. And don't you love that the whole Marvel thing actually called that last in the series Endgame? I mean, don't you just kind of think about that a little bit? There's an endgame. And the endgame is, it's not a one-size-fits-all. We all have our own version of that. But there is a part of us that sometimes, maybe almost often, maybe almost always, we have to tap into, especially at the really tough times, where we have to be able to call on our superpowers. Can you talk to what the imposters are? Just let's give them a mention. And how understanding ignites or can help us ignite our superpower, just the way you described with that audition, right? I mean, there's a part of me that enables me to show up 13 hours a week fully engaged with someone like you, enjoy every minute of it, but I don't know that I understand that. Can you just give us a little walkthrough?
Yes. Once you learn about your imposters, and again, as I mentioned earlier, I picked out seven: the victim, egotist, seductor, the joker, the fixer, the overthinker, and the judge. And all these are so common. And when you look at your, you got to just start analyzing yourself. I think a great exercise is keeping a little journal, especially in the morning. Do a meditation for 5 minutes and just sit there and without music and just what thoughts are coming to me. And you're going to notice we have 40 to 70,000 thoughts a day. And it's like most of them are negative. Most of them are repeated. What am I saying to myself? What are those thoughts? Writing them down. Once you understand your operating system, because that's really what these imposters are. So they've been coded into you. So once you start saying, oh, my God, I'm thinking about, oh, my God, look at Sally and her da-da-da-da-da. Oh, she's going to speak. Oh, she's awful. And da-da. Just comparing yourself. Oh, I can't believe the Kardashians, how they got so much money and they're so famous. They're not good at anything. All they do is shop. They're sex, you know.
They're
just
going to
make
money. They're going to make it money.
That's their superpower.
Exactly. By the way, So is Rihanna. Hello.
She's a billionaire, yeah.
Oh, my
but
God.
She doesn't get as much slack because I think that Kardashian is a clan, and
exactly.
They start off just being beautiful and showing skin.
Right. So the imposter clan, right?
Yes,
no,
yes.
Don't email me on that. That's but
it is an imposter clan because we all have imposters, and they're putting out different ones all the time. Oh, my God, this Kardashian's the victim today. Now, this one's the overthinker. This one's being the judge judging this one. So they play with it so well. So that's the thing. If you play with all these qualities within you, we all have all of them. We're all assholes. We're all jerks. We're all sweethearts. We're all giving. We all judge, and we all don't like judging. You know, we catch other people and say, oh, I can't believe they're saying this. We're all this. So if you could catch yourself and say, how can I be the best me and not... Like, I have a friend who's a seductor, and all she does is talk about sex. And anytime she's with a guy or auditioning, and she puts that forward, and she goes, I don't know why my career's not taking off. But she has all these tricks, and it's like, because you have leaky sexuality. You're a seductor. You don't have power over it. You're using it. So there's a difference between being in your power sexually and using it. Then that's the difference between a superpower and, you know, a saboteur. So the judge, it's great to judge. This is what's going on in our world. Let me make a decision, or in your job, or what audition do I take, or what career do I want, or how do I want to raise my kids, and judging what kids are doing. This one's doing, you have 3 or 4 kids, you could judge, but you have to look at it and go, okay, this is the symptom. What's the cure?
Yeah.
And if you don't find an answer, then don't judge. Judging on itself hurts you. And whatever you're judging them, you're judging yourself. You do the same thing in another way. Even if you stole a piece of gum and you're judging someone else for stealing, you know, an art piece in a gallery, it's the same thing. It's the I'm entitled in that moment. You're just doing it at the level that you are capable of or whatever.
Yeah.
So don't judge others. We live in a world of light and dark, and that's just the way it is. All you can do is look at these imposters, write down your thoughts, and then if you do that, I swear, if you do that for 1 week, just writing your thoughts, you're going to see how many of them are repeated. And if you go, what can I do to start silencing that voice? And you do that by giving yourself something else. Like so many clients I have talk about their past and their memories. Oh, my God, this happened when I was 3, and this tragedy happened at 7 and 8, and then I was thrown on the street. I was, you know, adopted by these awful people, and 100 things happened to them. But what happened was then they stopped living life. Like what you're sharing, you know, you work 13 hours a day, you're fine, you need this. They don't do that. They're so bogged down and this happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, come on, that happened 15 years ago, 30 years ago, and they still can't create a day because of those tragedies. And I'm not making light of it. It's horrible and horrific, and it's deep, deep psychological and emotional wounds. And that's why there's, you know, care for these people, and I think they need that.
Yeah.
And they could just say, I want to create my day also on top of getting the healing work, and just do one small thing like, what are my thoughts? Why do I keep having my thought? What can I do to transform that thought? Like I was living for years of, my dad did this to me, and oh my God. And so I said, you know what? Nothing was working in my life. I tried to be an actress, and I'm saying, you know, all my uncles, you know, Uncle Ramsey's hair, new hair, and Riyadh. I'm like, I can't even do a kissing scene. My dad said it's 1 foot in his grave. Or if I hug someone, or, I got a soap opera, they wanted me in bed under the covers simulating sex. I can't even, couldn't do that. No way. Even if I was fully clothed. So I'm like, I have to quit this. So what I decided to do was go to Iraq to talk to Saddam Hussein.
I love that, though.
Why are my thoughts like this? Why am I struggling so much? You know, when you have contradictive thoughts all the time, you're kind of...
Absolutely. I mean, look at it. I mean, I love that you're sharing this because I've recently shared a little bit about the secrets in my family that just recently got revealed. And to be honest with you, they really didn't get revealed. The internet and Ancestry.com, thank you. I have no affiliation with Ancestry except for the fact that if it wasn't for a really fluke thing that my friend did in genealogy, I wouldn't have known my grandfather was actually born in Brazil. His last name didn't have an A on it. It had an S on it. He changed the name and then changed his ethnicity. So when we discover things like that, we could be like, oh, my God, I lived a lie. I'm like, am I Brazilian? Right? But the shock, how long we stay in the moments of despair is the difference between soul blazing, in my opinion, and living in our superpowers or not. Now, I'm not giving you a time. I'm not saying we just lost somebody over the holidays, a family member. I would imagine, I've thought about this, if I ever lost my best friend, Linda, just the thought of it is scary. But do I have the ability to call upon superpowers so I can continue the life that my soul is wanting me to continue, right? Isn't that basically what we're talking about? Even if you have to have, like, a coffee with your dog.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You have to go on because there is life after death, and you do meet other people. You meet everybody. This is just a game. It's the blink of an eye for the spirit world. I've talked to so many people in past, you know, near-death experiences. They all say they had a choice. A friend last week, it happened a few months ago, but I just talked to him. He said it was a choice. Do you want to go now or not? You have a choice. Then they saw that life and this life, and they said that looks fabulous, but they have family, they have kids, you know, something that's keeping them here. So we don't have to go, oh, my God, they're dead. They're not dead. I look at it as now. I have so many people who died the past year and a half. It's like crazy, like 15. In my whole life, I don't know 15 people who died. But I'm looking at it going, oh, my God, there's another one. There's another one. And someone was supposed to play at my party last weekend. He was the main, he's a musician. He was bringing several musicians. And he said yes on Monday, and on Thursday I called them to confirm. He didn't answer back on Friday. I'm like, come on, are you ghosting me? I just need to get technical. And I go on Facebook, and he passed.
Oh, my God. That happened with me and Pete Siegel. Benny, you remember Pete? It took me a while. I mean, people want to know. Lisa, let's talk about this, because this is so important. What you're sharing is, you're sharing really everyday things that happen to everyday people. In your case, you know, we're talking about culture. We're talking about something culturally that every time you turned around to enact your dream, you're like, oh, no, I can't, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there are some families. I mean, let's just take another example if we could. There are some families, and this is where the word imposter has shown up more. In my lifetime and in the work I do with addicts and women in recovery, when it's the conversation about whether or not you're gay or straight. And what you just described, I couldn't help reflect on a friend of mine who not too long ago committed suicide for the very reasons you just spoke to. The pain and the revelation of what happens when you reveal your true nature. And that could be, I grew up Catholic, I'm marrying someone from another religion. I mean, there's so many layers of it. But we have to get to that place of owning our truth, don't we? So that we can enact the superpowers to let our soul blaze.
Yeah, and it's really big right now, especially with the transgender and gender identity. And I've talked to a lot of these kids, and they're like, you know, I have to be me. I have to be my authentic self. And it goes against all the family's beliefs and stuff. And it's just so hard for everyone involved because their decisions do affect the whole family, especially coming from the Middle East. I get how, like they said, if I do one transaction against what they feel is right, I ruined 50 people's reputation, or, you know, all my father was the 14th child. Everyone had 5 to 9 children, and, you know, a lot of them died off. So I think all my uncles and aunts now have passed, but they said you affect everyone because you have the same last name, or your second cousin, third cousin, and they all marry within. And then that's it tainting. So a lot of them have that. So that's why there's so much suicide. And Bill Maher just did a thing on it last weekend. Did you hear that?
Yeah, Yeah. And, you know, it's really fascinating because a very dear friend of mine, my doctor, is from, you know, Iran. And he grew up in, especially of the Baha'i faith. And when I, you know, look at what's happening to people and the persecution of women and the fact that women cannot be educated, I mean, I've done events with her to really enlighten and engage people about, and, you know, honestly, this is just one thing. I mean, do I think I'm making a difference? I don't know. But can I show up and just say, I can help with this. I can go to this event. I can understand more about this. And I think that in order for us to do that, just the way you're speaking now, you had to do a lot to really understand all of the different versions of imposter that reside in you and then still come out of the gate and, okay, let's laugh for a minute. Let's laugh. Let's just have a moment. Because honestly, I didn't know I was a fixer until last Saturday. I didn't know I was a fixer till last weekend. Or I had even a fixer in me. And then I was reminded. But what is that part of me? See, I grew up as a truck driver's daughter. My hands were greasy till I was about 13. I mean, changing oil, changing spark plugs. I watched my dad build me a car and then watch it catch on fire as he was driving down the street. We built motorcycles. And so here I am. And I've got this old lawnmower that one of the kids put oil in the gas tank. And I'm out there. And there's a point by which you know you're not going to fix it, but you can't stop. Also part of the understanding of what we're talking about.
Yeah, the acronym for SOUL, S-O-U-L, stop, understand, you know, what is happening here, you know. Stop, observe, then understand what's happening, what triggers are being pushed. And then once you get that and go, why am I doing this? Why can't I stop? Then it liberates you. So it's really the deep breath.
That's why I brought it up, because I wanted you to share that. Because when you take us through the book, if we can get to the understanding of what you just shared, my gosh, how free do we feel? Talk about how free we can feel.
Yeah, and we all do have to be our authentic selves. I think you just have to make sure that is your authentic self, when especially kids make big choices. You know, it's a fine line of being there supportive and this and that. But we have to encourage everyone to be you, because everyone else is taken. And you were a soul that came in and said, I have a job to do. And if people start saying, no, you can't do that, you can't do that, then who are you going to be? Depression, suicide, all that comes into play, because your soul knows it can't fulfill its duty. So something gets, you know, shut down. But, I mean, mine was shut down by my father, I think, by all that. But then that took me on this journey. And after going to Iraq, I went to an orphanage in the small town of Tiltaf where my dad was born. And I realized it's a small Christian town, because he was like 2% Christians over there. All there was like a gas station, a liquor store, a church, a school, and an orphanage, and a bunch of caves that were attached to each other. And then everyone slept on those at night. And I went into the orphanage going, this is where he wanted to send me. So I started talking to those kids. And after talking to all of them, I started interviewing them, recording them. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. But they're like, you don't like us. Everyone's bombing us. And, you know, the world's against us. My dad lost his leg. My father died. My uncle died. This happened. All these things. I'm like, I'll memorialize your words. So I started interviewing them. Then I came home going, what am I going to do with this? But that led me on a five-year journey to 15 countries, talking to kids in orphanages, then writing a book about it, and then traveling the world, speaking about it. I gave it to schools and libraries because I just self-published. And then I moved to Barcelona and put my daughter there in first grade. And I gave it to some people there, and somehow the mayor got it, since I was a, you know, foreigner there. They're like, oh, how are the foreigners' experiences? And, oh, yes, this book. He goes, come talk to me. And it was in front of 1,000 people. I'm like, what? I thought it was going to be in front of like 8 people. And yeah, but then it became so big of what are we doing in the world and how we're all connected, because all the kids are so connected. All they really wanted was peace. They wanted peace at home, their parents to get along, to feel loved, to be seen and to be heard is really the message. And if we could offer that to ourselves first and then to our offspring, our friends, our neighbors, the whole world will change. Forget about, if I could, I would go to Ukraine right now and fight. It's like, oh, come on, stop. What can you do right now inside yourself? Do you meditate in the morning? Do you write down your thoughts? Do you do gratitudes every day? What are you grateful for? Do you think of a kind thing you could do for someone else? You know, I do mind, body, heart, soul, something for each category of my life each morning. You know, reading something powerful, calling a friend, telling someone I love you, doing a, all that could take 5 minutes or it could take 2 hours, depending on my day. So it's just a matter of being in the habit of it. So if you just do that and touch your feet on nature, on grass, hug a tree, be in nature, whatever problems you have, sit out there, talk to your authentic soul, this is my problem. You can channel it. You don't even need a life coach if you could get in touch that deeply with the power of the universe. Yeah. And you have to realize you could do stuff, come up with it. The universe will assist you in everything if you come up with the idea and engage the universe to do it. I have done nothing on my own. I did not go to Iraq to go to an orphanage to write a book, to travel to all these countries. And I was being drawn. The universe is saying, oh, here's a job. I got a job with a caring company that started taking me all these places. I'm like, let me go to the orphanage. And that wasn't me. It was a higher power. Yeah. Yeah. And then that turned me into everything. My whole life changed.
And that is a great way to really bring this full circle, because that's the way I see my life. You know, I used to say a saying that I am not the pilot. I'm the co-pilot. Now I'm like, no. I'm not even the co-pilot some days. I'm the passenger. Some days I'm in first class, but other days I'm like way back in the back. Mm-hmm. But the point is I'm always keeping myself open. Lisa, thank you for today. Thank you so much. Again, how do people find out about you? And thank you so much for showing up today.
Thank you. They could find me at soulblazing.com or on all social media, especially LinkedIn and Instagram at Lisa Hacia. And Barnes & Noble, you can get the book, Amazon. It's everywhere, but it's a great book to really help you uncover your false beliefs and really
love it.
With your superpower.
I love it. Benny, we're going to take a short break. Daniel, when we come back, more with the Dr. Pat Show. You're going to want to take a look at this, because here's where we are. If you can understand these parts of ourselves and just follow what Lisa just said, sometimes you can do it alone, but I'm just saying to you, if you cannot, reach out.
On this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the sound. Looks like we have in the south end moving northbound on I-5 through the Tacoma Dome and pushes back just before the interchange at 16. It will break free just before you're running up through the exit at Pioneer Way. Everywhere else, though, traffic's actually looking pretty good. Stay tuned for another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and it's all about mindfulness and mysticism. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Travelers continue to experience problems as the Juneteenth holiday weekend wraps up. FlightAware says there's been more than 300 cancellations for flights within, into, or out of the U.S. today. The number of delays sits at more than 1,700. The U.S. Supreme Court could decide on an abortion case that would upend a decades-old ruling. A leaked draft opinion revealed justices were ready to overturn Roe v. Wade. The nation could see the final ruling soon, as justices will issue new opinions tomorrow and Thursday. Governor Kathy Hochul is celebrating Juneteenth by bolstering New York's election laws.
This is how we celebrate Juneteenth. We come together and we make changes.
The governor signed the John R. Lewis Voting Rights Act. Under the measure, the state will provide language assistance to voters who aren't proficient in English. The act has also reinstated a preclearance provision requiring certain jurisdictions to prove new election laws do not discriminate against voters of color. A federal judge is redrawing Louisiana's congressional districts after state lawmakers ended a special session before finishing the job. Democratic State Representative Royce DuPlessis proposed a new map during the special session, which died in committee.
This is going to define our state as we talk about the future of this state, whether people see Louisiana as Louisiana of the past or whether we're going to be a Louisiana of the future.
Lawmakers had until today's deadline to redraw the map, but they gave it up on Saturday afternoon after deciding they could make no progress. Federal Judge Shelley Dick ordered the special session 2 weeks ago, requiring lawmakers to add a second majority black district, or she would do it herself. Washington Commanders owner Dan Snyder is doubling down on not testifying before the House Oversight Committee. The panel requested that Snyder reconsider testifying as it investigates an alleged toxic workplace culture at the organization. New York Democrat Carolyn Maloney said in a letter to Snyder's attorney he could testify virtually like NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell will on Wednesday. Snyder said he will be out of the country during the end of June. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Doug.
Chances are you're jamming in your car right now. And since Liberty Mutual customizes car insurance, so you only pay for what you need, Limu and I are going to show you some safe car dance moves. Hit it. Everybody, check your blind spots real quick. Now hands on the wheel. Put them 10 in 2 and move your head like a bird do. Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to our alternative talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies, but then clearing out by this afternoon. High temperatures around 67, 68 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows back down to about 54. For Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and even Friday, more sunshine expected. Temperatures hovering in the upper 60s to low 70s. Mostly cloudy skies through the overnights. Low temperatures in the mid to upper 50s.
Want to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Let us help you produce a professionally sounding radio show or podcast. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local. The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By, and we are featured on a number of stations, especially our friends in the Seattle area, AM, FM, Mr. Benny, KKNW, AM, FM, AM 1150. Hello.
Yeah, I thought the station was Mr. Benny. That'd be kind of cool, the way you started it, the way you started it out.
Oh,
I guess you don't like that.
Well, you know, how did I forget that? So here's the question, Benny. 20 years, and I didn't get that right?
No,
you
got it right.
I'm, like, looking at your logo.
No, you got it right. I was just going to be like, oh, we can change it. Like, KBNY, you know? So it's Benny's station, like, rather than KKNY.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny,
like a cool
isn't
venture.
It?
Yeah, it'd be a great venture for me.
Jake, it would be.
Jacob's in. I know. He's down.
Jacob's like, okay, we're really going to change our name. Jacob's like, we're going to go, we've been TTR since 2009. Now we're TTN because it's the network.
Uh-huh.
And so even with that, it's kind of like mentally, mindfully, spiritually, you lean into it. And, you know, it's so interesting about this because part of today is, you know, I've got Benny, you know, Aura Nadrich is joining me here today. Mindfulness and mysticism. You know what? It's almost impossible for me to imagine mindfulness without mysticism. It's just like, it's just a little bit like I mean, 20 years ago when I started to do this, I didn't even understand what those two words even meant. But this is a fabulous message in a fantastic book. And Aura was saying that, you know, it's been a while since she's been on, but what is it that people do in between being on my show? Well, they do a lot. They do a lot, but she's always done a lot. She's the president of the Institute for Transformational Thinking. She's the author of many things, but, you know, live true, mindfulness guide to authenticity. So you see what the theme is, you know, named in the 100 best mindfulness books of all time. And now you think she's going to stop there? Certified life coach, mindfulness teacher, specializes in transformational thinking. That's why I'm so excited to talk with her today, because I'm going to learn some things. Self-discovery. And I think about this, and I think to myself, here we are. And we haven't connected in a while since our last book. Here we are again. And there are two things that I think about. And this is something Linda, myself, and Jessica thought about. We're figuring out a way on a regular basis to bring panels of people back in between their books, like in between their speaking, in between their dog catching, whatever they do. There is a message that we are going to create, especially in our TV launch, because we want to bring panels together because people are hungry, and they're hungry for what she does. This book and the journey of this and the foreword in the book by the 14th Dalai Lama, and when I think about connecting present moment awareness with higher states of consciousness, isn't this the magic? And how we get to from wherever we are, wherever y'all are right now, right? And you guys have heard my story, or we're going to talk about Aura's story in a minute. Wherever you are, whatever's in your bank account really isn't you. Whatever you think you are, you're much more than that. She says it in this beautiful book. And at some point, we are going to get to the chapter on supernatural powers. But right now, I am so thrilled and honored to have Aura join us here today. It's a stunning book. It's beyond stunning. It is a book, the couch, or if you're on the couch, have incredible moments there. Or it's great to have you. Welcome.
Oh, Dr. Pat, it's so great to be with you again. Wow.
So, you know, Benny and I have been together for 20 years. That was Benny is like 20 years, like, and I'm not even getting the network right, right? But, you know, there are moments where it's hard to explain how our hearts get filled. And I was reading your book. I go through the book. I go through the book once, and then I go back. And when I went back, I noticed there are just really cool things that you've done in the book. You know, like even before a chapter like Awaken Now, I am awake, but I must awaken more to know that I've been asleep far too long. Hello, doesn't that sum up where we've been for 3 years? Now tell me about this.
Thank you for pointing that out, Dr. Pat. Yeah, I mean, it's been quite a ride. You know, we really have been on quite the ride for the last couple of years. And I think it's really important to talk about it. You know, I mean, I do say that I like to go to places where a lot of people aren't comfortable. And what I want to say about that is we have to learn how to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean? It's really important to look at things that have caused us tremendous pain and suffering and confusion and all those things, because the only way we can navigate the choppy waters of life is to really be able to move through them in the best way possible, in an intelligent way, in a mindful way, in a present way. Do you know what I mean? That's why I love talking about mindfulness, because it brings you into present moment awareness to know exactly what's going on in the moment that you're in right now.
Yeah, this is really, for me, when I think about this, is, and I would love for you to comment on my comment earlier, because I think it's at the core of the book in a lot of ways. And I don't know, I love the cover and I love the back of the book, so I just got to say that. I'm going to hold it up in a minute unless Jacob, I think Jacob may have it, but this, I just got to show everybody. But then I got to, I mean, we're talking light language, sacred geometry. Of course we are.
Thank you, Pat. And I want a shout out to Dimitri, who works with me, who's just a total artist.
I, I have to, you and I need to talk with Dimitri. I've got a few ideas. But I made a comment, and I think I've known this in my life, but I think I didn't understand it. And it is the core essence of the book that I want to ask you about before we dig a little bit deeper. I know today, when I wake up, I have a practice. It's a little short one, but I have it. And it brings at my level, from what I know how to do, mindfulness and mysticism. It is so refreshing to see that you have brought both into harmony in this book. But I made a comment, and I don't know if my comment's true. I don't know how to separate them now to create transformation in my own personal life and even in the network. Can you talk to that for a minute?
That is just so perceptive of you to say that, because what I say to people as a mindfulness practitioner for as long as I've been doing it, the amazing thing about being on the mindfulness trajectory, you know, when people say, well, what is mindfulness? Mindfulness is the practice of being in the present moment with total awareness. Okay, well, we know how many moments there are in a day, how many moments there are in a week, how many moments there are in a month, how many moments are in a year, and how many moments we're going to experience in our lifetime. It seems infinite. So if you look at that and say, what is the present moment about right now? Well, when you start to become a more mindfully aware human being, I say it's like a camera, like the lens of a camera. It starts to widen and widen and widen more to the point where you see so much more. And it is amazing and mind-blowing. It comes down to, Dr. Pat, how much do you want to see? How much do you want to be aware of? How sharp do you want your lens of vision to be? That's personal. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that's up to you. That's up to me. You know, somebody can look at a sunset and go, uh-huh, that's nice. And someone can look at a sunset or a sunrise and have their mind blown.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. You know how I know what you mean? Okay, ready? So it's interesting. I love certain movies. I grew up as a sci-fi. I mean, honestly, even as a really young kid, that's where I spent every Saturday, just in the weirdest movies. But I'm a little fascinated with the latest Matrix movie, and it got really bad reviews in the context of the original. Of course it would. However, I was fascinated by it for a lot of reasons. But there's a scene at the end where Trinity gets up from this horrible scene at the end with the guns and the whole thing. There's this moment where she looks out, and you could see the expression on her face. It is for me, she's having a spiritual experience right there. And she's looking out, and all she says is, it's beautiful. See, we have to get back to, yes, it's a movie, but that moment, that is a humanity moment, isn't it?
Oh, Dr. Pat, you are just, you know, singing to my soul. First of all, I happen to love Carrie Ann Moss.
I love her.
Love her, and she is a very, very conscious woman, number one. Let's just start with that. So whatever she put into that scene and all the scenes in the movie is going to raise the vibration of that movie anyway, okay? So that scene that you're talking about is really what I talk about even in the chapter of mindfulness and mysticism and perception. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
I do.
It all comes down to perception. It all comes down to, again, the way in which you see something, do you know? And if you use the filter, which I describe that in a quote in the book, I think it's Descartes. I don't know. I have so many quotes in the book about
yes, you do.
The filter becomes the soul of which we are looking through to see things. Imagine what you can see and what a high vibrational level you're seeing something at. You know, we don't have to see things just as they're presented to us, because if we saw things just as they're presented to us day in and day out, it would be pretty bleak, okay? And it's incumbent upon us to say, no, I'm not going to let things outside of myself, things that we know like media, social media, the news, all that dictate how I should see the universe.
You know, and let's talk about that, because there are a couple things in the book, and I want to share this with everybody for those of you just tuning in. The book is Mindfulness and Mysticism. Or I want to take a minute. Benny, I'd like to skip the break if we could, Jacob. I want to take a minute because I want people to find out about you. I want them to go ahead and get the book, because I did a brief introduction of just trying to explain what you do. And, you know, there are sometimes there are no words, but it's because of your messaging. It's because that I love being a student. I just love being able to understand things that I never thought I could understand and yet watch my life change. See, I want that for people. That's why we have this network. That's why you do what you do. But I would love for people to get to know you, to go to your website, and let's tell them how to do this. Let's tell them about the book. But let's also talk about the fact that there are mindfulness sessions that people can plug into. We need to help people, Aura.
Yes, we do. We really do. And what I'm seeing, first of all, AuraNatridge.com, that's my website. There's a lot going on that website. Check it out. Thank you. Check it out. Yes, people do, and people are. And listen, when I wrote a book called Mindfulness and Mysticism, I've been teaching mindfulness for a very long time, starting with the entry level of just what it means to be present, okay, just to show up in a moment of your life fully present. When I decided to write this book, Mindfulness and Mysticism, which I felt really called to do, using a word in a title like mysticism, I thought to myself, okay, some people are going to think it's too esoteric. I wrote a book on metaphysics. You know, maybe they won't really resonate to it. I've had more people resonate to this book than I could have ever imagined, because people are ready to get more information. And it's not information that isn't something that they should know about. It isn't just kept for those that only seek sacred knowledge that's esoteric or metaphysical. I want to debunk that. That's why I wanted to say I want to take the mystery out of mysticism, you know, and bring it into a 21st century context so that we can live our lives more mystically, more magically, just more amazingly, if you will. You can call it whatever you want. Do you know, like, why do we have to live our lives day in and day out thinking it's got to be some mundane doldrum kind of way that we have to just be at the effect of all this negativity that's being thrown at us 24/7? I defy that. I'm like, no, you create your own universe. You create your own reality. Do you know, it's like it's not dictated for you. Yes, there are things that are going on in the universe that are very disturbing to us right now, but it isn't coming upon us, which is why I think the book is so timely, to define how we want to see not only our reality play out, but the collective. We're all part of this awakening that's happening right now.
Yeah. You know, you could actually, okay, like here's me now telling you what you could do. You ready for this? Fasten your seatbelt. You know, as I went through the book, I thought, you know how you have in the book, let's talk about the book. In the book, on some of the pages, you had these beautiful messages in red. Thank you for using a color. Mm-hmm. You can literally pull every one of those out, and that would be a separate book. I don't know how many there are, but they're amazing. When I went through the book, what I was really so struck by is how you take us on a walk, a journey. It's a walk. It's like when I studied with Lakota tradition and Monica, she says, may you walk in beauty. See, and this is what I get from this. May you walk in beauty. And yet you're taking us through and you're giving us some tools. I want to talk about divine thought illumination. Now, I've heard a lot of words and I've heard a lot of phrases in 20 years. And this I love. I gave it an acronym. I like the DTI, but don't pay any attention to that, okay?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But I just loved it. It's like I got to remember it. Right? I have a little learning different thing, so I have to do DTI, Divine Thought Illumination. And then I went to a place, and you have to help us here, because I think I'm like our listeners. I went to the place, am I going to get there? I had this moment of sadness. And of course, it's in the front of the book, and as I read the rest of the book, I got the answer. But how many people do we want to speak with right now? Look at them in the camera. Look at them in the eye. and say, this is you. You are this. What would you say, Aura?
Well, you really, you know, said it quite beautifully. You know, this is you, and this is who you are. We are divine beings. We come into this incarnation as divine, perfect spirits that are inhabiting this body. You know, I love the quote by philosopher, mystic, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, lest we forget. We are these divine spirits that are inhabiting this body. What do we want this life to be? Just to be at the effect of a more base, kind of dense energy that keeps us stuck in these human experience, and we don't really lift the moments higher and go, wait a minute, there's a lot of magic to this creation. Let me tap into it, which everybody can. And I really also want to say, Dr. Pat, it's not like I'm saying, oh, let's just be like, you know, high out of our minds 24/7 in some altered universe that is just, you know, mind-blowing. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that we can tap into divine consciousness, whatever that means to you. That's personal, whether it's in a religious context or a spiritual context, whether it's God, divine person, unity consciousness, source, the absolute, Christ consciousness. You can call it whatever you want. Call it your cat. I don't care what you want to call it. We can tap into this divine knowing of what we're doing here on this planet Earth and live our lives with just a greater sense of intelligence and knowledge and wisdom. And it's going to change your whole trajectory if you want it. It's available to you. That's really all I'm saying in my book, Pat. I'm offering, I'm welcoming, I'm inviting you in, as you said, to take this journey.
You know what I love about this, Aura? It's like, yes, all of that's true, but it's how you do it. You know, I had a mentor a long time ago that said, Pat, you're going to learn in life, one, you can't take a person to a place you haven't gone, but two, it's not so much about, like, the end game. It's like how you get there. And I studied that in my research for 10 years, and the reason I know that it's this is, may I read again from your book?
Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
I step upon the path of the divine. I ask that my soul guide me so that I may live a divine life. I am present and ready to listen. If we could start our day, everyone listening, every day, and have a moment, mine is I ask God the divine, thank you. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for today. Please tell me what is mine to do today. Because I need guidance. And there'll be days where I have to ask that. But the reason I'm bringing it up is it sets the stage for being and becoming for everything you said in the book, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yes, it does. And, you know, asking of that guidance, which is so beautiful, even when we're really having a hard time, you know what I mean? When we're having a hard time, it's very hard not to have much faith. Very hard to really not believe that we are actually even in the presence of divine guidance, you know? And really what that means is that we're in alignment to receive, we're in alignment to, as you said, to listen, to hear. If we ask the questions, what is my understanding today? What am I meant to know today?
Yep.
How can I be in service today? How can I get through the day? How can I just get through the day better? You know, whatever that question is for you, when you ask those questions and trust that you will be guided, you will be guided.
Mm-hmm. You know, here we go, right? Didn't know this, but as I was reading, the next thing you talk about, and if people could do a little bit of what you and I are saying just to kick off their day or end their day, it is a moment of self-surrender, isn't it? It is a moment of humility to be able to step back and be open and receive. And you know, I say once a day, but to be honest with you, every time I'm in the middle of something or I start something, it is in the back of my mind to ask. Let's talk about the self-surrender, because if we cannot do that, even from an esoteric, even from an intuitive perspective, One, we're not going to hear the guidance. Two, we're not going to be able to take the action. And that's later on. But part of this is, as you discuss in the book, the importance of lifting the veil before we can get to the spiritual shift. Let's hear from you, because you talk about lifting the veil really interestingly. And there are a lot of people that will be like, I don't really, what veil? Do I have a veil? Can you address that for a minute?
Yeah, I want to circle back to what you said about you can't think of mindfulness without really thinking of mysticism, which is really where I was going with this book. It was like, I want to say, you will see differently. Keep staying present. Keep showing up for the moments of your life, because the more present you get, the more aware you become. The more aware you become, the more conscious you become. The more conscious you become, the more you see. The more you see, it starts to go into an upward mobile trajectory that is extraordinary, okay? So having said that, something like lifting the veils, I use that as a metaphor in that there's so much more for us to see, and there's a lot that's being shrouded from us seeing it. You know, I love to use the analogy of the Wizard of Oz, you know, and the wizard who was a little old man that was behind a curtain. It took Toto the dog to pull the curtain open to show Dorothy and her three friends that were in desperate need of a brain, a heart, and wisdom, I believe, that they were being scared by this very ominous, very frightening voice of a little old man behind a curtain. And unless Toto hadn't pulled that curtain open, they would have thought that it was some entity that was greater than them, that was some, you know, masterful entity that was to be feared, and that they would have to follow, you know. And that's a very powerful image, the whole idea of what the Wizard of Oz was showing us. You know, we all loved the movie, and we were cheering for Dorothy, you know, to get back to Kansas and wake up from this dream. But I use that as a metaphor because that's a perfect example of the veils that I'm talking about. Push back the veil. Lift the veil. Look at something that's being presented to you and ask yourself some questions. Does this really seem truthful to me? Is this real for me? What is my intuition telling me right now? My intuition is telling me that what I'm seeing or what I'm being told to see or what I'm hearing is not resonating to my inner barometer that it is true. Do you know? That's lifting the veils. And the more you question, the more you probe, the more you don't just accept what is readily told to you is gospel, it's incumbent upon all of us to find out what is the truth around us, just like, you know, happened in The Wizard of Oz. So I love that metaphor. I think it really speaks volumes about how before you're so quick to believe something is what it's telling you it is,
yep,
might just not be true.
I love this. You know, part of what I'm really excited about is, you know, this idea of transcending, I think you call it transcending the ordinary. And I want to talk about that when we come back from break. But before we do that, you know, how do people get a copy of the book? How do they find out more about you? Let's make sure they know that, and we'll take a short break.
Again, auranagers.com. You can order my book on Amazon. That's the quickest way to get it. And I just recorded an audio version of it. I'm super excited about getting that out there for those that don't like to hold a book in their hand but prefer listening. It's going to be available in all ways.
And when we come back, what we're going to talk about is how do you acknowledge where you are today? How do you keep your eye on the vision for where you want to go? And then how can you be kind to yourself in getting there by literally looking at what Aura has laid out? Everything from addiction and mysticism, very important thing. The dark night of the soul, I thank you, dark night of the soul. I thank you so much for that. But when you have these moments, how do you know you're having them? How do you know you're in a spiritual place of transcendence? And I want to say this to all of you listening and you're thinking, that's not me. I go to my job, I wake up, I got to take the subway, I got to go to New York, I got to look at, we're all there. But this is for everyone, and it is the key to help us repair, remodel, and reboot from the past 3 years. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with Aura.
Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful Oz. I said come back tomorrow. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The great and Oz has spoken.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Ally Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Introducing The Brilliant Black Man Show with Melissa Johnson. Tune in as Melissa shares the stories of successful black men across the country. This show is designed to change the narrative on how black men are portrayed in the world. The show will highlight their brilliance and how they are making a difference in their family, community, boardroom, and the world. For more information on the show, visit WildMinistriesLLC.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Follow the yellow brick road.
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 Okay, let me digress, Benny. Benny?
Yes? Uh-huh.
Guess who's going, I guess who I heard is going on tour again.
Well, I'm Christina Aguilera.
Yeah, she's on tour.
That's not much I know. Oh, really?
The big guy, Yellow Brick Road guy, Elton John.
Well, he's been on tour, too.
He doesn't stop, but this is now, I think he's calling it, or you're going to relate to this, right? This is so related to what we're talking about. The final farewell, final
he's
tour.
Been doing the final farewell, final of final farewell tours. It doesn't end. You're right.
Oh, my gosh.
So we'll leave it at that.
Oh, my gosh.
Why does he just call it the never-ending tour?
That's true.
The never-ending Yellow Brick Road. Hello.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Okay, so we could have a whole conversation about what's your favorite song on that? What's your so Dirty Little Girl, maybe, or Funeral for a Friend. Okay, let's not. But all of this, one of the things that I love is when I'm reflecting on the book, and there's so much in it, and I know we're not going to get to all of it today, but I am so really honored by the way that you take us and remind us gently of the human spirit And then I started to read about the book, right? I mean, so I'm going to read again, Benny. It says, my spirit breathes life into me each day, each and every day. I acknowledge it, I listen to it, and I allow for it to guide me in all that I do. When I do that, everything lines up. When I don't do that, crazy town happens.
Yes. I say, Pat, Dr. Pat, love calling you doctor because you are. And you're the doctor of definitely transformation going on today. That's for sure. Mm,
thank you.
Is to take a spiritual pulse. To take a spiritual pulse. You know, to start your day taking a spiritual pulse. How do we check in with ourselves? When I say a spiritual pulse, you know, some listeners might go, what is she talking about? Like, what's a spiritual pulse? It's like, check in with your spirit. And ask your spirit, how are you doing? You have a right to ask yourself some questions. How am I doing? How's my spirit doing? How's the spirit that breathes life into my being doing? So, you know, I say in the book, Dr. Pat, what do we remember when somebody's no longer with us, when they've passed on? We remember their spirit. We remember their essence. We remember what breathes life into their body. That's what's happening. You know,
yeah.
That's what we're really feeling about someone is their energy, their spirit, do you know? So when we listen to our spirit and we take a spiritual pulse and ask ourselves, how am I doing? That's what we want to do. We want to check in with ourselves and find that out. It's very important.
I have to tell you this. I love and was surprised and still surprised and still love that I'm reading the book and I get to a point in the book and I say, now she's talking about me and my family. Okay, what? Wait a minute. Intelligent beings, I got that. Awaken, I'm right there. Chapter 17, Addiction and Mysticism. Oh, my God. And I got here. Thank you for putting Carl Jung's quote in there. But I got to ask you, I mean, is it because, I didn't even know the question to ask you. All I know is I come from a family. My mom committed suicide. She was an addict, prescribed drugs, because people that are feisty back then when she was a woman, you just got to drug them. Then you start to drink. And my family, myself, my sister, we all went through it. Myself, I ended up homeless at 17. I buried two stepsisters about 5 or 6 years ago. My sister died on a hospital floor. My mom's heart exploded from overwork. And so I opened the book and I said, thank you, Aura. Thank you. Gotta ask you, this is purposely put in the book and you put this smack dab right in the middle. What were you sensing? What were you feeling? And was it because we're coming off probably three of the most addictive style type behavioral years we've seen in a long time? What is it? Tell me. Tell me what came to your heart here.
Well, keep in mind, Dr. Pat, that I wrote this book before.
You did. That's right.
Before, you know, which I felt was very sort of prophetic and omniscient. Like, what was I downloading? You know, what was coming to me? I was like, you know, I think I'm going to take this journey myself into going deeper, taking a deeper dive into what it means to be in present moment awareness, you know, and I went all in, you know, I went all in with it. And addiction is huge. And that chapter, I remember what I was feeling when I went into that chapter. I went deep, deep down into what that means, because, you know, pain and suffering is part of the human condition. It afflicts everybody to certain degrees. And I wanted to really address things like the dark night of the soul, which when you said, thank you, dark night of the soul, I'm right there with you. Some of my greatest lessons I've ever learned was during having a dark night of the soul. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But it's the only way we really can grow is to take a deep dive into that dark, deep, dark blue sea that isn't always so blue and go down deep in there and find out what's there. You know, it's like, stop pushing it away. Stop hiding from it. So in the area of addiction, and I've, you know, known and loved and lost people to addiction, so I know it. You know, it's interesting to me because that chapter, boy, when I went into, excuse me, especially even the Bill Wilson's, you know, what really woke him up to never be the same again, the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, which was a mystical experience for him. I was really looking at it so closely. I put it right under the lens and I was like, wow, you know, what is it that we're looking for when our soul, our heart and soul is aching so deeply that all we want to do is just check out, that all we want to do is just, you know, peace out and get the hell out of here. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, whoa, 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 people, you know, come on, let's be together on this one, because life can be a, you can put all of your adjectives you want to put in it. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Real, you know what, okay? And it's going to just, you know, grab you, swallow you up, and spit you out every chance it can get. And you got to know what you're made of. You need to know what you are made of, and the universe is here to help you.
Yep. But I am so glad for two things. Whether you wrote this before or after COVID, right now it's one of humanity's greatest challenges across the board. Now, I'm talking about, and the quote you have in here is beautiful. Every form of, by Carl Jung, every form of addiction is bad, no matter whether the narcotic, the alcohol, more morphine, or idealism. Well, let me read it again. Every form of addiction is bad, no matter whether the narcotic be alcohol or morphine or idealism. And what he's saying is, if you're addicted to food, if you're addicted to the internet, if you're addicted to your cell phone, if you're addicted to a person. But one of the things I loved about this is the way you talked about it and put it in the book. And thank you for your reference to Bill Wilson, because one of the things that I always ask myself, why did it take Wilson almost 30 years to write a letter to Carl Jung to literally thank him for establishing, if not for Carl Jung, there would be no 12-step program on the planet that had anything to do with spirituality? And I love it. I'm sorry it took Bill so long for him to acknowledge you in the role he played. But the good news is when you read the letters, the letter from Wilson is great, but the letter from Carl Jung is so revealing, and it was so sad. And when I read it, I realized this was a man that in this letter, he is very clear that he says, I wish I could have done more. I was afraid to do more. Now, if Carl Jung, the way we know him, the way you've got him in the book, and the doors that he opens, even now when we move to the rest of your book, all those doors he opened, and we think how amazing. And he's admitting, I was holding back. I was afraid to do more. I couldn't talk more. I was shocked to know that he's like most of us. Shocked and relieved, because I think sometimes we hold back. And I'd like for you to talk to that, because the rest of your book, in my opinion, is about not holding back. Right?
Yeah.
Did I get that okay?
Yeah, you certainly did. No, it is about not holding back. You know, it is really about going in towards our fear. You know, it's like, what are we really holding ourselves back from? You know, I'm very much about the inquiry. I'm very much about asking questions. My first book was Says Who, How One Simple Question Can Change Everything Forever. That jump-started this whole thing for me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I think it's really important to ask ourselves some serious questions along the life journey. Do you know what I mean? And so to even ask yourself daily, what's holding me back today? Let's start in present moment, real time. You know, like, wake up. If you're feeling like you're feeling reticent, you're feeling fear, you're feeling something, you know, it's like you don't really know what it is, but you're feeling it. Ask yourself some questions. What am I feeling? What am I afraid of? What am I holding myself back from? What am I afraid to discover about myself? Why is going to the into the unknown so frightening to me? What, I'm going to feel out of control? Okay, so we're going to be out of control. We can't control everything. We can't control everything, including death. But, you know, I'm not talking about the literal death. We have to have little deaths along the way. That's what the dark night of the soul is even about. It's like experiencing the death of the ego. It's experiencing the death of the small self, the small little girl and little boy in all of us that just wants to hold ourselves back because we're too scared. You know, we want mommy and daddy to take care of us and to make it okay for us. You know, we have to rise and be those people that are empowered, that make powerful decisions for ourselves. So those questions, Dr. Pat, I'm big on asking yourself questions daily.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really fascinating. I do work with women in addiction and recovery. And, you know, you get to be on the pulse of what's really in their hearts and minds, what makes their skin crawl every day. And you would think, well, maybe it's the politics. No, it's not really. It's like, how do I get up every day? How do I put one foot in front of the other? How do I not use? How do I not drink? What are my tools? What are my practices? And what am I going to do spiritually today? And it's the backbone of it. But one of the things you talk about in the book, which I think is so important, and I need to touch upon it because it really leads, you know, to where we're going, and that is the spiritual initiation, is not being afraid to communion with the invisible.
Mm.
Now, I have gone to therapy, kicked out of Catholic boarding school for claiming that Jesus talked to me, and I'm 6 years old. But how do we help people understand? Nowhere does it say we are not capable, able, or allowed to do this. Hello.
Oh, you're touching on so many powerful things today, and thank you for that. You know, that's really what I'm proposing in the book, to take people on this journey, and things like to sit quietly, you know, even in contemplation, and ask. Do you know, ask ourselves, you know, how do I listen? You talked about earlier about listen. How do I receive guidance? How do I allow that which maybe I cannot see and I don't really know what it is? You know, we define, I say this in the book, we define, you know, we all grew up hearing descriptions of God. You know, we just imagine this archetypal description of God was some old man with a long beard and a robe, you know, in a biblical context term of what God looks like. We don't know what God looks like. God is everything. God is in everything and in everyone. Do you know what I mean? So
I do. But I think God even says that.
I hope so.
Well, somewhere then, I think God says that, right?
Yes. And whether you're declaring yourself the son of God or the daughter of God or whatever, you know, again, listen, this is for us to define. This is your journey. This is your divine journey. Make it whatever you want it to be. You know, don't be afraid. Don't hold yourself back. Make this what you want it to be, people, because this is it. I mean, whether you believe in coming back or reincarnation, that's fine. But while we're here right now, what do you want to make this journey about? What is it for you? And you have a right to decide what you want that to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is a time now where you take us to the next level, and that is enabling us to activate our supernatural powers. And so that's how I knew when I was reading the book, and I went back to the book again. I'm like, okay, so she's like me. She, like, grew up with some, like, she was, like, had to be watching something like I was watching, right? And how do we know that this is tapping into our consciousness? You cannot put a movie out there. There's only one movie, I think, that I've heard released recently that didn't make it to the blockbuster. There's only one Marvel movie that I've heard didn't make it to the blockbuster. We could do a whole other show, and I could tell you why it didn't. But look at where we are. You know, look at what we're plugging into. You and I were chatting about The Matrix, but that's only the beginning. You know, we now have a pop culture that is stepping up the bar in levels of imagination and creativity. But are you fascinated by the fact that so many of them are about supernatural powers? Supernatural powers, right? I mean, comic books, how many decades back do we want to go with that?
Yeah, and that's for anybody that was a sci-fi lover, which we all, you know, you and I clearly are, or anything that we watched that took us into the more extraordinary realms of, you know, human existence that go beyond just, you know, again, these levels of consciousness that keep us in a more sort of mundane way of looking at life. We went there because we knew that there was something more. We just sensed that there's something more to this existence, to the cosmos, to the universe. We, you know, for those that really feel sensitive to that or can intuit that, you know, it's like that Peggy Lee song, is that all there is?
All right.
Is this all there is? I don't think so, you know. But if you want to think that, go for it. You know what I mean? If you think it's just what you're seeing, it is. And that's what holds meaning for you. I respect that, you know. But I do think why we go to those movies, we watch these Marvel comedy movies, comic books, go to the screen, and each one of them just gets more phantasmagorical than the next one, is because we want to be taken there. And we want it for that 90 minutes or however long they are, we want to really be at one with those supernatural characters. We want to believe that we have those supernatural abilities. No, we can't fly, you know, like they do. We can't do, but we can do a lot, you know, that might be considered supernatural or superpowers, you know. And we only know is that we use a very small percentage of our powers and a very small percentage of the brain's power, you know, which is fascinating to me.
And, you know, it's really interesting about the brain power. I was reading an article where they said that that's a myth. And I said, you know, not really. Okay, I know we use 100% of our brain, but that's not the real question. Do we use it to the capacity that it is available to us? And we know the answer is no, because we find stories. We find people that literally can leap tall buildings to save a child or lift a car, right? I mean, this is not made up stuff. But what I love about this is that when we look at the way of the light worker, and when we take a look at what I wanted to talk with you about in the last minutes left, first of all, I cannot believe that you reference Evelyn Underhill. Her book. Oh, my gosh. I pulled it out the other day to read it, and I'm reading this, and it's like, oh, wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
Did she actually mention that?
Evelyn Underhill was...
Oh, the mysticism book?
Important. Oh, I mean, she was, and it was divine providence the way I found the workings of Evelyn. You know how that works. Talk about the synchronicity. I was like, you know, mysticism. I'm going into these areas. into discover Evelyn Underhill, and I'm like, okay, wow. You know, that is the world of which I'm speaking of, you know, and even what I cite in the book about her particular mystical experience, just walking down some, you know, funky street, you know, where she suddenly had this mystical experience. And that's why I say you can have a mystical experience doing anything and everything.
Yeah.
You don't have to be sitting under the Bodhi tree like the Buddha. You know, yes, maybe he had the aha, you know, moment of infinity at that time, because he was a seeker, or so the story goes that he was, that he had that great enlightenment that happened. But we're on the trajectory of having these mystical experiences that we can have just about at any time or at any place if we're available to experience them.
Yeah. Look, I can't say enough about how, enlightening is not the right word, how activating this latest project, this book of yours is. And I have to say activating because, it's a book that talks about so many things, but the way you've done the book is in every section of the book, you have either something to think about or something to do. Thank you for that. And then you ask questions, or you'll give us things like say silently. And again, this is another amazing body of work from you. I want to ask you this last thing. First of all, please tell us again how we get a copy of the book, how we find out about you. And then I would love to know your personal message, your vision. What is Aura's vision?
Well, first of all, thank you in advance, Dr. Pat, for having me on your fantastic show and really holding space for this conversation. You know, it's been very illuminating to be able to go into these areas with you. So thank you for that. People can go to auranagers.com, order my book on Amazon, you know, for that immediate delivery that they do because they're taking over the world. So there's that. And as far as my vision, really, my vision or my desire, I should say, that comes from the deep recesses of my heart and soul is really just to have us all awaken, just to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up from the dream, you know, and really see that this is and can continue to be heaven on earth. But it's our job to make it that.
Thank you so much for everything. Thank you for, first of all, writing something that comes from your heart that touches upon the days, the times, the world that we all live in. Whether I'm talking about somebody struggling in three jobs to pay the rent, you know, in another part of the country or another part of the world, or somebody that's sitting at the top of a company not even thinking about the fact that they are millionaires and still don't have enough money. And what I mean by this is what we need for the times we're in now and the times we're about to go into now. And so thank you so much for all of that. Thank you for everything you do. And then also on your website, people can connect with you. They can do things with you, right? And there, you said there's an audio version of the book, right?
Audio version coming out very soon, which I'll make that announcement on my website. And
okay.
I'm happy to have people reach out to me. There's a way to do that. There's an email on the on the website. So please, you know, reach out. Tell me what's going on your journey.
Good. Great.
Next.
Yeah. And when the audio version comes out, let us know so we can tell everybody.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
You bet.
Love it.
Again, everyone, and by the way, we didn't get to everything in here, but there's so much. It is really one of those books that you can pick up and you can sit down and you can think to yourself, what does this message mean? I want to leave everybody with this from the book, in the part of the book called The Way of the Light Worker. And I want to leave you all with this from Aura. I am a light worker. My light guides me and shines a light on others. May we light up the world with the light in our hearts and awaken together in divine wisdom. Thank you, Aura. Thank you, Benny. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you all for tuning in.